From the Denker studio on Library Square, this is The Rundown, an exploration of local news, current events, and issues that matter to you. Today on the program, we have a conversation with Gerald Brown, director of Utah's Refugee Services Office. And we'll talk about the more than 4 million Syrians who have been internally displaced and the more than 2 million who have fled the country since the onset of the war in Syria. We'll also look at how refugees come to the United States and to Utah.
Most of them stay in the state that they were resettled in. These people are survivors. I mean, they are the epitome of human resilience. And so the vast majority figure out a way to make it. They go to school at night. They work a couple of jobs. Their kids are the most important things in the world to them.
That discussion and the day's local headlines just ahead on The Rundown here on KCPW. And welcome back to The Rundown. I'm Roger McDonough. Coming up in the second segment of our program, we're going to have a discussion with Gerald Brown, director of Utah's Refugee Services Office, to talk about the refugee crisis in Syria and the process by which refugees arrive in Utah. But first, we have this summary of today's top local headlines. The sister of a woman shot by the suspect in the killing of a Draper sergeant says that the couple stopped at her house on Saturday looking for money, showing off weapons, and behaving strangely. Vicki King tells KSL-TV that her sister Tracy Viancourt was once a model, but a rare blood disorder left her addicted to painkillers. She says Viancourt and her boyfriend Timothy Walker showed up a day before authorities say Walker gunned down Draper Police Sergeant Derek Johnson. Johnson was on patrol early Sunday when he spotted an oddly parked vehicle. Authorities say the officer was shot behind the wheel of his police cruiser before he could draw his weapon, and that Walker also shot Viancourt and then himself. The pair remain in critical condition. The LDS Church has released in online and book form around 100 surviving papers authored or commissioned by Joseph Smith. General Editor Matthew J. Groh says this is the first in a multi-volume series that chronologically documents letters, reports, meeting minutes, and editorials, among other texts.
So within the book that we're releasing today, that book covers 1828 to 1831. So the church is founded in 1830, so it goes back before the church's founding to about a year after. And then the book that we'll release in December takes us an additional 2 years into 1833.
Groh says the series will give a week-by-week, month-by-month unfolding of the early years of the Mormon church. Reed Nielsen is the managing director of the church history department. He says that while the documents have been available for research in the past, the goal is to make them more widely accessible for scholars and the general public.
It lays out in chronological order how the church was organized, how it began to flourish, how it began to move and to develop and to mature as a religious organization. And in the past, scholars, particularly those not of our faith, have had trouble understanding how the documents all fit together. This in one or two or three volumes, given the time period, will enable scholars to have a handy reference, an indispensable reference, to see how it all fits together.
Eventually, the total document series will cover the time from Joseph Smith's revelation until his death in 1844. Local religious leaders staged a demonstration outside the governor's mansion on Wednesday. They gathered to try to convince Governor Gary Herbert to endorse Medicaid expansion in Utah. Next year, states have the option to expand Medicaid coverage as part of the Affordable Care Act. For his part, the governor said he doesn't plan to make a decision until next year. For more on Wednesday's demonstration, here's KCPW's Ryan Cunningham.
Gracious and loving God, we do give you thanks for this beautiful and this glorious day.
That's the Reverend Gerard Lowry of the Community of Grace Presbyterian Church in Sandy. He's leading prayer for a group of other reverends, pastors, chaplains, a Buddhist monk, and a host of others from various religious backgrounds as they gather outside the governor's mansion.
Among the legislators, that you would move among the governor, that you would surround him with individuals.
The prayer commenced a multi-faith protest by religious leaders from around Utah. They're in favor of Medicaid expansion in Utah, something Governor Gary Herbert hasn't made up his mind on yet. To demonstrate the potential human cost of declining Medicaid expansion funding from the federal government, the faith leaders got down on the sidewalk and traced their outlines in chalk. They made 18 figures, the number of people they say could die next year without Medicaid expansion. Crossroads Urban Center, the nonprofit organization that organized the protest, cites a study from the New England Journal of Medicine to arrive at the 18-person death toll. Crossroads organizer Molly Williams is hopeful that the governor will warm up to Medicaid expansion.
I think that if enough people come together and show him that this is a needed thing, that he'll definitely reconsider. Because whether or not, you know, you agree with this particular bill, something needs to be done about healthcare expansion. These people need healthcare in some way.
Pastor Olga Hart of Mountain Vista United Methodist Church in West Jordan came to voice her support because, as she says, it's an issue she has a difficult time ignoring.
I have never done anything like this before. So this is a big step in my faith journey. It's just been an issue that has been on the doorstep in the office of the church on a weekly basis.
If we're not on board by the end of this year, we'll have to wait another year and thousands of families will not have access to Medicaid that they otherwise could have had.
Pastor Curtis Price is from the First Baptist Church in Salt Lake City. He has strongly advocated for Medicaid expansion to political leaders, but he's unsure where the governor stands.
I hope that he is considering less about the political ramifications of signing on to this option and more about the families that are going to be affected. His families in the state of Utah. It's literally going to be a godsend to so many families. I can't imagine what's holding him back.
As the chalk outlines are drawn, it's admittedly a bit unusual seeing a group of reverends and pastors sprawled out on the sidewalk. Whether such an image will sway the governor is yet to be seen. In Salt Lake City, I'm Ryan Cunningham for KCPW.
The U.S. Department of Justice says a judge in Utah has approved a settlement that unlocks gates on three roads in Utah's West Desert. It's the first settlement over claims of road ownership by local and state governments across federal lands. The agreement, allowing summer traffic in three canyons of the Deep Creek Mountains, follows years of litigation in Utah, with disputes over wilderness roads spreading to other western states. The deal says Juab County can maintain but not widen the roads. The Wilderness Society and the Sierra Club also signed on to the consent decree. It has been approved by U.S. District Judge Tina Campbell in Salt Lake City. And that's our local news summary for the day. I'm Roger McDonough, and you're listening to The Rundown. Stay with us.